and New Life family. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here today. God bless you is our prayer today. Amen. I know you're going to have a good time with your families today. Amen. Also, 21 days of prayer and fasting is coming up shortly. First week of August. Amen. Just want you to be aware of it. We'll be announcing it and setting you up for a time of coming together as a church family. Amen. It'll be live streamed as well. If you can't make it here, you can still be a part of it. These are very, very important times for New Life Fellowship when we get together and we learn how to speak life from heaven's throne to one another and to our community. Amen. I've been looking forward to this. Today is the start of a new series, and this series is called something you're very familiar with, The Promise. What's happening is, along with the New Life creative team, they're going to be, amen, we're going to be joining together and putting a book together on The Promise. Also a workbook so that you can actually host an equip class as it relates to The Promise. Amen, in your home. We'll be doing an equip class here too. One of the things that our Christian world oftentimes in the Christian life they miss is the benefits that come with receiving the promise. And don't want anybody to miss out on the benefits of heaven. Anybody like being blessed? Amen. I like being blessed. And so we're going to jump off in this. And each week, instead of you reading the book and you reading chapters, every time you get to where there would be a chapter, it'll be activation number one, activation number two. And through the book, instead of just getting head knowledge, you're going to be getting downloads, and you're going to begin to step in your true identity in the Spirit. Amen? And today's message is only the introduction to this series. It's the preface. It kind of gives you an insight on why this promise is so important and why we need to really put a little bit more emphasis on it, because it's tied in to covenant. Amen. If you've anybody ever been to a wedding before? Everybody here has. And there's vows that are made between the groom and the bride, right? Promises are made. And this covenant between us and God, He started it out, and He gave everything to marry His bride. And He makes promises to His bride that are so valid. And oftentimes, amen, we don't join in with Him and receive that promise. Because if you ever receive that promise correctly, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You'll return it back to Him. That most unruly member will be saying what God says, back to God. Amen. In unity with God, in harmony with His Spirit. Is anybody catching this right now? And so I want to just challenge us. I feel like it's important that we be challenged today on why, amen, you want to be one that carries this good news of the promise wherever you go. You'll live it out. As a matter of fact, if you receive the promise, people know that you're in covenant with God. They can't help but see it because they see your true identity through this. In this covenant with God, we take on His nature. We take on His character. We take on His name that's above every name. Amen? We're in Christ now. And the evidence of Christ would begin to show in our lives. Matter of fact, let me say it this way so that you can really begin to jump in with me right now. Jesus makes a profound statement. Now, this is just a 50,000-foot view of what we're going to be talking about in this series. And most professed believers will miss this if we're not careful here. In John 14:11, just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And this is a key point of being a believer. Or at least believe because of the works you have seen me do. What Jesus was saying, the works that are coming out of me is evidence that I'm one with the Father. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, in other words, anyone that will become one with me, all right, will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Notice why. Because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name. Once this marriage takes place and you take on that name, you have access to everything that's in the checking account. And he wants you to use it because he's given to you the kingdom. And I will do it so that the Son, come on, any sons here? So that the Son can be glory to the Father. It's Father's Day, by the way. Amen. And all of us sons, children of God, we want to bring glory to our Father. And all the sons are able to be affected because they come in their Father's name. You're going to catch on in a minute. Amen. And I don't say that sarcastically because I know the enemy works overtime to cause us to doubt our true identity. He wants you to doubt that, like last weekend, amen, that you can actually pray for the sick and they'll recover. But the evidence that you're a son is that these works operate through you, and even greater works than Jesus did in his flesh, you will do. Okay. Now, 50,000 foot view of where we're going. If indeed greater works than Jesus did, and I want to say this, it's so important for you, because everything that Jesus did, if there was a book written on everything he did, the world couldn't contain the books. But he said you would do greater works than he did. If these greater works are not happening, what do we need to change in order for them to begin to manifest through us? What needs to happen in order for every demon to flee, every sickness to be subject to us, death even to yield to those that walk in the Spirit? It's obvious that God is not raising every person that dies, but there's going to become times, if we're walking the Spirit, that God wants to use you to raise the dead. Now it's getting silent at New Life Fellowship. But the point is, as sons and daughters, children of God, do you want to bring glory to your Father? Going to church does not bring glory to your Father. Being the church brings glory to your Father. And so we're going to address some points today that are very valid. And the culture we live in is kind of skewed as it relates to God's culture. Amen? We've all been impacted with forms that have no power, religious forms that have no power. All of us have. Everybody. And so, since we don't have to go to a man as a mediator, but Christ Jesus is our mediator, we don't need a confessional booth. Talking about something very important to come about, but since we've come out of that idea that I need to go confess my faults, and we confess our faults one to the other when we're in the Spirit, amen, and healing comes when we do that. Amen? Because we feel safe around Jesus. Anyone in Christ, they ain't going to beat you up. They're going to bring healing into your life. They're going to edify, build up, and strengthen you, right? But the temptation still remains that we think that if I can just get to the building on 1604, amen, in 1976, that if I can just get there, I'm going to feel better about me when I leave. And all we've done is build bigger buildings, which are bigger confessional booths. And not that I'm voting for you not to, amen, be real with God and come up and run and start confessing your faults to me, but you don't need me. You need Christ. Amen. And oftentimes we feel better about ourselves because the presence of God that comes with us. Amen. One shows up, two shows up, and automatically there's a different dynamic when two come together. And then three shows up and the dynamic gets better. And we're thinking, man, God is pleased with us because all of a sudden the presence of God is there. But to take the presence of God into the world and be a world changer, there is a promise that God has given to you that if you ever truly receive it, out of your belly is going to reciprocate that confession to Him, amen, and you're going to become one. And when you become one with Him, by the way, amen, every husband, amen, worth their grain in any way is going to put their wife on display. God had a plan. He put Himself on display on a cross. And so we determined to know nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified to this day, right? You're wise to do so. But what does He do? He takes her death that she deserves, dies it for her, makes a commitment, gives her a promise, and then He takes her and robes Him in her, in His spirit, and puts her on display so that all of creation can see what He's proud of and what He's joyful about. And through her, He can do more than He did in His own body. But the reason He can do more through her is because that covenant, they've become one. They're not fussing about everything. They're not bellyaching about this. And they're not trying to get the other one, amen, to give them what they want. Now you serve me. Amen. No, the bride of Christ is all in. It's not about what I can get out of you. It's what I can invest in you. Come on, that's not the culture of our world. It's dog-eat-dog world right now. Our world needs a witness of what it is to die to self and come into covenant with the one that gave it all. And when we decide, amen, we're not going to play church and we're not going to, amen, as Paul said to the Spirit-filled group, you started well, what did hinder you? Are you going to finish this in the arm of the flesh? It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. When we come into covenant with Him, He comes into our life. His kingdom is within. We willingly let Him become king of His kingdom so that through us, His kingdom can come to the rest of the world around us and His glory can fill the earth. Amen? And the enemy is working overtime in our religious world to water down the promise God made. And all of a sudden, all the miracles and all the signs and all the wonders and the evidence of God at work, all that was for them back then. That's not for us today. And that lie is being told all over our world. So much so that people get relaxed in the idea that I'm part of something that feels good, but man, there's no evidence that the good one, God, is at work through me. Shows up in our relationships. Bickering and fussing, always divided. Heartburn, anxiety, frustration. Come on. The list goes on. The evidence that I'm not hosting the presence of God is real in most professed Christians' lives. And it can all be traced back to covenant with God. The only reason I have heartburn with you is because I'm out of covenant with Him. The only reason I see you as being my problem is, amen, I'm not okay and it's your fault, is because I broke covenant with Him. I'm not rejecting you, I'm rejecting Him. The moment I look down on you in any way, I have rejected Christ. I'm sorry, media, that I'm not giving you opportunities to put the scriptures up. But the evidence of God's presence is so strong right now in this room, you don't have to read it in the book. Your spirit, man, your God DNA is saying, that's in the book called the Bible. There's a validation. There's a confirmation. The power of God is in this room right now because truth is being spoken. Culture. Amen. Culture is the number one thing, amen, in our lives. If you're going to look at four very important objectives today that offend your ability, amen, when it comes to greater works being done through you, is we get pulled into a culture that's not the kingdom of God culture. And we think blessing equals something that blessing don't equal. Culture will mess you up if it's not the kingdom of God culture. Culture will eat vision up. And if the vision is not continually spoken on an ongoing basis, if we're not talking about the promise of God, the covenant of God that he made with us on an ongoing basis, we will revert back to the old nature, the culture of this world, the logic of this world, and it will eat up the vision of God in us. Without vision, you perish. And God is wanting to stir up vision in us today so that it burns in us like the fire of God. Amen. We can't shut up talking about how good God is. I didn't come to you with the words of man's wisdom. That's what Paul said. But I came to you with spirit words that are only coming out of the Spirit. This is the mind of Christ. Is when you say only what you hear your father saying. You only do what you see your father do. It's not works. I'm not trying to be a good person, but there's a good God that I'm in covenant with that just keeps coming out of me. And I like the journey he has me on. So much so, as Paul tells the church, that you become so eat up inside about and concerned about the needs of others more than yourself. Next verse, this is the mind of Christ. That's kingdom culture. You get up every day. It don't matter what my spouse does to me. I'm going to be a blessing to my spouse. I'm going to honor her. I'm going to lift her up regardless. My expectations, amen, shouldn't come from her. It should come from above. I'm not happy because she makes me happy. I'm happy because he makes me happy. And if she has to live up to my idea of what happiness is, I'm putting her in a box and putting her in prison. That's anti-kingdom of God culture. Amen. And it is not a platform by which greater works can be done through you. It's an evidence that we're not, amen, a part of the Great Commission. When you and I are on board with the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, when we're eat up, amen, to be about our Father's business, that every person that's in front of us, we're so sensitive that we can only hear what he's saying about them, not what the enemy's saying. And it don't take long in any given day. It don't matter who you are, the enemy's got something to tell me about you that's not right. It looks like it's right. It looks like that's what's going on. But it's not the truth. And the temptation, don't lead me into temptation, deliver me from evil. That's what he's talking about when you pray this prayer. Forgive so you can be forgiven. Release so you can be released. Lead us not into temptation. Come on, it follows the flow here, ladies and gentlemen. Because the enemy is screaming out with all kinds of voices, trying to convince you that the other person is the problem. You better be careful with him. And the last time I heard the Lord speak, man, when I heard that voice before, he said, they're still breathing, ain't they? I'm into them. I put them in front of you. Now pay attention to what I'm after. Pay attention to the goal that I see in them. Quit looking at what the enemy wants you to see because I got something much more valuable. I'm talking about culture, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, the fire's burning in me right now about, amen, the mindsets that the enemy's working overtime to get us to buy into. And there's lots of ideas. I remember when I recognized that in my home church that, you know, we had these powerful services where, man, the presence of God, man, the gifts of the Spirit, man, there was the evidence that God was there. But all of a sudden at age 19, I recognized, you know, we're missing something. People are not being born again. Man, there's not enough baptisms happening. Matter of fact, there ain't hardly any. And it's like we become inward. And man, we was going to church instead of being the church. And at 19, it kind of stirred me up. And I know what God used was my grandmother to pray that into me. And so I said, Lord, I want to be a soul winner. And I had ideas of what that looked like, which were kind of, you know, messed up. But the Lord said, son, and I was a business owner at 19. Amen. And God, and grandma prayed that on me too. And he said, son, I've given you a gift of encouragement. He said, when I send you out into the public to serve them, just encourage them and I'll show you my glory. Everybody in this room has gifts of kindness, giving, encouragement, prophetic. I mean, the list goes on. Every one of you are gifted by God. And if you will go out and give your gift away, it's attractive. And before you know it, at 19 years old, I've got 3, 4, and 5 small groups going a week. We didn't know they were small groups then. We called them Bible studies. And I certainly wasn't a Bible answer man. The ones I messed up is the one God blessed because I was doing it with my heart. Amen. Every ones I thought I did real good, man, I did good tonight. It didn't do nothing. Nobody was impressed with that Bible study. It was the ones I thought I goofed up. Come on, anybody catching this? He's looking for a willing heart. He's looking for someone available. And he would inspire me to encourage people, amen, while I owned my business, meeting the customers, going, doing work for them. He just said, just keep encouraging, keep encouraging. Next thing you know, they were attracted to something about me, and it wasn't me, it was Daddy. Amen. And then all of a sudden, people were getting born again. Baptisms was taking place. And the next thing you know, the revival's going on. And the Lord's telling the pastor of the church, you're going to have to bring him on staff because you can't pastor all the people that's being born. And I wasn't from seminary. I didn't have no degree, but I had Jesus. Still a teenager, early 20s. God's doing this, and he wants to do it through you. But it didn't stop there. It was supernatural things that begin to happen on a regular basis. Amen? And God wants to do that through you. So the next point that's very important for us to embrace is that could keep the greater things from happening is religion versus relationship. Religion is defined as a pursuit or interest in one in which someone ascribes supreme importance. So much so that you can move God out of it. You have made it so important that God can't even get in. Now, that's not that it's wrong for you to put importance on as long as God is the center of attention in the importance. So relationship trumps form and our particular idea of God. Let me say it a little better in this way. A relationship with God is so important for you. For whatever idea you have of God, it has to fall because God's bigger than that. And whenever you get a bigger idea of God, that has to fall too because God's bigger than that. You'll never figure God out, but there's one thing he wants you to catch. He wants a relationship with you. It's not dependent on how you can figure him out, how big he is and how strong he is and how powerful he is. Amen. What you figured out is he loved you when you were unlovable. He cared for me when I didn't care about nothing else but me. He helped me through my drunkenness of self. He delivered me of my personal self-will, which is iniquity. Religion. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. But he that does the will of my Father, the same shall enter in. Many are going to say to me that day, Did not we cast out devils in your name and do many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus says, I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that are self-willed. You work iniquity. It's got to be your way or the highway. And yet God will use you while you're self-willed to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He'll use you to encourage someone and then be blessed by God while you're still feeding self-will. I don't know about y'all, but that's scary scripture in the Bible to me. Because my biggest enemy ain't the devil. Even though all he has to work with is thoughts, he knows that if he has enough self-will in me, I'll listen to him. I'm going to say that one more time. If there's frustration and anxiety, anger, hate, lust, pride that's in your life, that's the source of it, self-will. And the enemy, the moment you live for you, he has a wide open door to come in like a flood. He don't mind you going to church. He has no problem with you going to church because he goes to church too. He believes in one God and trembles. Is anybody catching this? He don't have a problem with me and you saying, preacher, amen. As long as there's self-will there, he can work his kingdom through you. And anytime anxiety comes out of your spirit, frustration, hate, lust, pride, you can't do that in Jesus' name. It's not possible because you're not in him when you do it. You may have that abracadabra phrase in the name of Jesus hanging out with you all the time, but it ain't working for you. The enemy's letting you use that and wear that mask, and all the while, Jesus is saying, look, I've made a covenant. Why don't you receive my covenant? I have a promise for you. Let me bring my promise into the house. Amen? Relationship is what this thing is all about. Amen? And I'm going to bypass the scriptures on that. Y'all can get the scriptures on the way out. They're available. Because the third point is head knowledge versus faith. I'm giving you a 50,000 foot view of what's going on here. We're going to have some fun here in the next weeks as we begin to realize we're the bride of Christ. And the reason we're so awesome to him is because we're in covenant with him. And the promise he made to us is a powerful promise that comes with his all. He gives his all. He gives his spirit. Amen. The next thing that probably needs to change, amen, if greater works than Jesus did are not happening in you, is head knowledge versus faith. Head knowledge versus faith. In Romans 10:16, it says, but they have not obeyed the gospel. Amen. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, when Paul wrote this to the church in Rome, he was confirming what Jesus had appealed to his followers to hear. He was saying the same thing Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Faith doesn't come by you hearing Dwayne Lowe. Now, if you can hear Jesus talking out of me, faith will come. And guess what? I have seen faith rest on several of you while I was doing what the Lord told me to do and say what the Lord was telling me to say. I saw faith come up on you. But you didn't hear me say it. You heard Daddy say it. Amen? And you wasn't necessarily interested in memorizing it. What got a hold of you was it got a hold of you. And you clicked, something clicked, and you had a relationship with what was being spoken to your spirit. This is so important for you and I. Head knowledge is not going to give you an experience. All it'll do is add more arrogance to you and pride. I'm going to say that one more time. You can quote the whole Bible and go straight to the bad place. Unless the author of the word, that the scripture, gets into your heart, you in trouble. And I know many people, and I've been there myself, when I was eat up with some issues in my own spirit. Oh, I could quote the word, and I would use the word to back up my self-will. But that's the worst kind of hell to live in. That's the worst kind of demon activity to be associated with, is when you use the very scripture to back up your association with a dark spirit that's only there because of self-will. Hearing the voice of God will set you free. He or she that hath an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. If you don't have an ear, you have no hope for experience, because it's out of hearing what the Father's saying that he's able to know you, and that's intimate. If you are not hearing him, you can't know him, or he can't know you. And the only way you're going to accurately follow him is because you had an ear to hear. And because you could hear, an experience followed that hearing that empowered you. Come on, I'm talking about promise to follow him. The idea that you can follow Jesus and not be empowered is foolish. And the enemy is convincing professed believers all over our world to this day that they're followers of Jesus because they do good things. And there's no one good but God. Works are not going to save anybody. But when you let faith go to work in your spirit, you've let the one that is the groom, amen, daddy, come in and empower you, amen, in the spirit. And he does it with spirit and with fire. It's a promise. I'm going to say that one more time. You want to win? He promised you could win. But when John the Baptist came, he was the first one that heralded, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." That one right there is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And with that Holy Spirit and fire, he's going to thoroughly purge his floor. What's his floor? His throne room, amen? The place where he's king of his kingdom, amen? With unquenchable fire, he's going to clean the slate, and he's going to take up his kingship within you so that through you, he can bring his glory into the earth. His glory is his goodness. And it's a good thing when people that are possessed by demons are released of them. It's a good thing when those that are sick are healed. It's an awesome thing, man, when the deaf can hear again. That's the evidence of God, who is good. His glory begins to fill the earth. And if God has his way, and I feel like, amen, maybe not everybody here is going to catch it, but several of you are, and then we'll start shutting some hospitals down. Not for evil, but we'll be using them for something else now. Hallelujah. Hearing the voice of God is not something that only a few can do. Everybody that's going to be considered of his fold, sheep of his fold, hear his voice. In John 10:16, it says it this way: "I have other sheep too that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice." He said, there's sheep out there right now in our community that are not in the fold yet. He said, they can hear. The question is, who's going to be a mouthpiece? Who's going to be God's mouthpiece? And who's going to challenge them to tune in for station identification? Verse 16. "And there will be one flock and one shepherd." Now notice what he says to the religious group here. The scholars, the guys that could quote all the scriptures. But you don't believe me because you're not of my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. I'm 15 years old. It'd be awesome if I was able to be with my biological father today on Father's Day. But 15 years old, the Lord took my biological father, not for evil, but for good. Amen. It's not that he was blocking anything. It's just God's plan. And I can stand here today with confidence knowing that. But I don't know that I would be right here today had he not, because it was the pain. It was those moments of time when I was frustrated and I was confused that God took advantage of, and I cried out to him. And it was in times that wasn't fair that all of a sudden, because I was broken and I was at my end at 15, because suicide happens triple among the ages 15 to 23, 24. That in my pain, in my distress, he heard me. But he had been talking to me all the time. I just didn't know it. You see, all the static of potentially being scholarshiped through sports to a college, dreams of this is where I'm going to go with my life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden got shook up. And all that static of what I thought was what was right, God wasn't saying all that. He had something else planned for me to be a son. Not that I couldn't have been a believer and went another direction. God had plans for me to be here today because he's in love with people. And he wanted to put some people in front of me that are powerful, and he knew he would minister a word through me that was going to change the dynamics of a community. But it was the pain, it was the things that were unfair that caused my ear to tune in, and I could hear him at 15. It shifted the dynamics of my life tremendously. And some of you here today, and some of you are wondering, how in the world am I going to get through the pain that I'm going through right now? There's a promise. There's a promise that makes all the difference. And he came in flesh. He stepped off of his throne as king of all kings and came as a servant. And what's about to happen at this house is you're finding out that we rule with the heart of a servant. And we serve with the heart of a king. And our identity has already been set from heaven. But the enemy's working overtime to manipulate your thought process. And because there's a vortex of things that are unfair, God's using that to shake your world up, to realize there's another culture, that if you step into it and trust him with it, all the promises are yea and amen. They're yours. Amen. Last point of reference that is important for us if we want to move into that vein where greater works can happen, and the evidence that the king is king of his kingdom within me begins to show up. Don't beat yourself up today if there's no real evidence that greater works are happening. No, the fact that you're here today is the Spirit drew you here. He's setting you up to step into your identity. He's setting you up to have relationships, amen, that are healed, relationships that are powerful. but it's going to be with him being king of his kingdom within you. Amen. The last point is, we might want to reconsider our view of heaven. We might want to reconsider our view of grace. Because grace ain't never been a license for me to have it my way at Burger King. Of course, you can go to Burger King today and have your burger the way you want it, but you get my drift. We might want to reconsider our view of heaven. You see, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he said, the kingdom of heaven is near. I want to read a few passages to you here. Matthew 3 and 2. John the Baptist came to Judea and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. So the first time he comes in flesh, don't he? And he manifests. Clear the road for him. That word near means just simply close in distance and in time. I mean, it's right up on you. It's like nose to nose. It's looking at you. Jesus continually gave his followers hints and spiritual breadcrumbs that pointed to the promise as the rendezvous point of where he comes back the second time. Okay, come on, be careful about John 14, 7. Y'all get ready. Here we go. Jesus is standing with them nose to nose. I'll just say it like this so you can get that. He come in the volume of the book, didn't he? He said, the scriptures are they which testify of me. So anything in that book called the Bible, the scriptures, if it don't reveal him, you have definitely messed up thinking. Every verse in that book is a revelation of Christ. Anybody catching that? So the book is really standing there in front of him, in flesh. And he says, I'm with you right now, but I'm about to be in you. He said it. And it's important that I go, because I want to come back and I want to get up in my kingdom and be king of my kingdom within you. Now, I just paraphrased that, but that's all over his ministry. Let's read here. John 14, 17. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. This is Jesus talking to his followers. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. The world don't even recognize him. And he's eluding. They should be, but they can't recognize him. But you know him. He's telling them, I'm standing right here in front of you. He's referring to himself as the Holy Spirit because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Is anybody getting this? No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. You know, you have kings search out a matter, don't they? And we find out when you read the scripture, the only person of God is Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's only one throne in heaven and one sits on that throne, and his eyes is like fire, his hair is like wool, his feet is burning, amen, like burning brass. And he tells John that's looking at him, he said, I'm he that was dead but lives. Is anybody tracking? Jesus has to go away because he wants to come back, and he says to them, you can get the scriptures on the way out. Don't you leave this place right here, because this is where it's going to change. I'm bringing my culture in. I'm bringing my kingdom in. You stay right here until you be endowed with the promise of my Father. And when you get endowed with it, now you're empowered. Now go and be my witnesses. And we've got a world of professed believers that hadn't yet been filled with spirit and fire. They feel the presence of God. They want to be associated with Jesus. They go to their confessional booth every Sunday. And I'm not just talking about a little booth where they're talking to me. I'm talking about big buildings. And they're sorry that they're not walking with Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I just don't follow him. I believe in Jesus. I just doubt him every time I get up in the morning. Is anybody tracking? And you can't be Christ unless you're empowered to be Christ. And you can't empower yourself. All you can do is receive willingly the promise. Seven days later, they're talking about the goodness of God and the bits that just happened. They're in a prayer room called the upper room. And there came a sound from heaven like as of, and a fire from heaven like as of. And the place was filled. The wind blew. Everything spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Same experience. Not only to Jerusalem and Judea, but to Samaria. Same experience. Then to you and I, the Gentiles, in Acts 10. Same experience. And then there were certain disciples of John the Baptist that, amen, they were believers on Christ. And Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? We ain't even heard. Or you ain't received the promise yet. Amen. And he baptized them again in water. And when they come up out of the water, boom. We stand right now. I'm going to quote this scripture, and then you got a decision to make. Because this is the day the Lord hath made. How powerful you want to be today. Anybody want to be powerful for Jesus today? It's just the clicking of a finger. There's a decision to be made to where you receive and you release. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Let me just say it this way. If you're still thinking that sin is something that God took away and you're still having to just deal with sin every day, thank God he took it away, you missed the point. The reason the Lamb of God came was to bring heaven to earth. And in bringing heaven to earth, sin and the effect of sin was neutralized. If sin and the effect of sin hadn't been neutralized in you, you know it's still there working against you, and you're like, man, I want to get, help me, Lord, get this out of me. Your view of heaven might need to be, God's got something that's going to blow your mind when you lay this body down 6 foot under the earth, wherever, whatever you do with it. When you die, your spirit goes back to the one that gave it. It's going to be wow. But let me tell you something. Heaven came to earth 2,000 years ago, got nose to nose with the people that were following him, and said, now, I'm with you, but I'm going to be in you. If you're still battling you, and you're still dealing with the guy in the mirror, or the girl in the mirror, and you want God to deal with it for you, and finally you're going to let God have it, you got to let heaven come to earth right now. And every one of you can have a new level of heaven today that you didn't have yesterday. How deep do you want to go? How high do you want to fly? How much of Jesus do you need? He's willing. Are you? It's not someplace we're going out in the future. It's a place that came to us. It's a person that showed up in spirit and filled us. Heaven came to earth. The kingdom of God is within you. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The promise is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that is in you is the Spirit of Christ. And if he's not in you, all you need to do right now is get willing. And it's not a one-time thing. It's not something that you experience, praise God, you talk in tongues, and man, you shout, maybe you fall out, whatever happens. And you get up and go live the world again, fussing and bickering and complaining. Nuh-uh. When you get this, It'll sustain you. All of a sudden, you see through his eyes. Oh, you hear through his ears. You become his mouthpiece. And out of you, as king of his kingdom, greater works than he did in flesh, because now he's in you, his body, the body of Christ. Oh, the best is yet to come. Your best day hasn't been lived yet. Your best moments are before you. You decide right now. Is heaven coming? Anybody want heaven to come bigger than it's ever been before? Anybody? You want heaven to come in a deeper way than you've ever experienced? I don't know, Pastor. I'm nervous right now. No. You were designed for it. You were made for it. Don't worry about it. You want to be with your daddy on Father's Day. Anybody want to be with your daddy on Father's Day? If you want to be with your daddy on Father's Day, come on. Show him you want to be with him. Give him a Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. You can have me, Lord. Come on down. Amen. If you want heaven to come to earth in a way it's never come before in your life, move on down here. I'm going to pray for you.